So that's an important piece, and that was also in the stat oil term sheet. As far as benefits to Monhegan, those have not been worked out in detail in the term sheet. And what the term sheet says is they will either provide essentially free power to the district, the power district of Monhegan, or some benefit of equivalent value. So that needs to be worked out between the Maine Aqua Ventus and the power district, with the PUC just sort of helping helping those parties come to terms. So yes, that sort of local benefit and how Monhegan will be benefited is still quite a bit up in the air.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Was there any mention about the technology, this type of technology versus Stat Oil's technology?
There wasn't really a discussion comparing comparing the two, because Stat Oil is no longer on the table and the commission's role was not choosing between the two. So it really was whether there was a likelihood that the technology would be viable.
So they made a determination.
Next step when they build a next step, we hope will be a large park in the Gulf of Maine. And the commission, at least the majority of the commission, felt that the technology, at least what we know of it now, is at least reasonably likely to become commercial. Although that's why we're doing the pilot, because we don't know. So there's no, you know, commission didn't find with any degree of certainty that there will be a large park, or that large park will be economically viable or technologically feasible. But they found that the statute did not require that, because by its very nature, this is a pilot project, and this is what we're going to learn.
Representative Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the update. You said that the commission vote was 2-1. Can you explain who came down where and what the rationale was on each?
Chairman, and there will be a written order in the next couple of weeks where the three views of the commissioners will be stated, but Chairman Welch and Commissioner Littell voted in favor of approving the term sheet. Commissioner Vinoy voted against approving the term sheet. This was too difficult and unlikely economically feasible. He wasn't questioning technically whether it could be done, but whether in the future it would actually cost, would actually get down to a market cost. And that's where he saw difficulties. And of course that view depends a lot on what you think the future is going to be as far as electricity costs, which, you know, predicting it 5 years from now is hard enough, or even 3 years from now, but we're looking way in the future. So, you know, he considered, you know, forecasts, that we have various forecasts, and felt that it was not likely that this was going to get us where we want it to be, which is a commercially viable technology that actually lowers costs for ratepayers. The other two commissioners felt that the project did comply with the statute, which in their view did not require any sort of certainty that we'll get to commercial viability, but that there be a reasonable likelihood, and that, as I said before, this is a test, and that the legislature made the decision that it would fund with ratepayer funds up to a certain amount of money to have this test, and that's why the other two commissioners voted in favor.
Can you refresh my memory about how the vote broke down with the Stat Oil project? And if I recall correctly, the original vote from the commission for the Stat Oil project was 2-1 no. But if you could refresh my memory on that, because I ask not to ask loaded questions, but they're, you know, people are going to definitely ask about the comparison between the two projects.
Yes. Originally, when the Statoil initial term sheet came before the commission, it was voted down 2-1, with Chairman Welch and Commissioner Vinoy voting against it, and Commissioner Littell voting in favor. And in that deliberations, Chairman Welch laid out in quite detail his concerns with that initial term sheet and asked if Stat Oil would revise the term sheet to address his concerns. And they did so with PUC staff's input. And when it came back to the commission, Chairman Welch voted in favor of it, as did Commissioner Littell, and Commissioner Vannoy again voted against it. So in the end, it was the same two commissioners voted in favor of the Stat Oil term sheet as the main Aquaventus term sheet.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Although we don't have, I don't believe, in writing what the minority vote was, Commissioner Vannoy expressed the same concerns he had as far as the economic benefit?
Yes, he did. And in the Statoil decision that approved the term sheet, Commissioner Vannoy had a detailed dissent as to why he voted against it. And it was basically the same reasons.
Good. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for that update. Mr. Tannenbaum, we have the other bill, 796, which is resolved to enhance economic development by encouraging business adjacent to electric power generators to obtain power directly. I think by resolve,
it's the letter. Yes.
The letter, we asked you to look at this and come back and share your thoughts on how kind of a proposal might be able to go forward.
Yes, the original LD was a concept draft that was resolved that would ask the commission and others to have a stakeholder group to look into some of these issues. I believe that was held over, and through a letter, the committee asked the commission to report specifically of the pending Central Maine Power Company rate design proceeding as it relates to those issues. In other words, as it relates to the issues of direct purchase of electricity by a business from an adjacent electric generator. And a large part of that issue really goes to the standby rates, which I'll explain what that is. That was partly because Chairman Welch explained last session that we were having this rate design, rather comprehensive rate design proceeding that would look at all types of issues, including standby rates. So first, just some quick background. With industry restructuring in 2000, there are no legal barriers for an entity to sell power to anybody who wants to. That entity would not be a public utility by doing so. That's what the Restructuring Act did. They would have to get a license, a competitive electricity provider license from the PUC, but that's not a huge burden, and it's nothing like being a utility or being regulated. They're not really regulated just by virtue of selling electricity. So that's not really an issue. If the generator has a line that connects to the customer, there could be an issue as to whether that makes that generator a distribution utility by virtue of owning a line that's used to serve someone else. And if so, that generator wouldn't be a utility by virtue of selling electricity, but could be a utility by virtue of owning and operating a distribution line. But the commission has pretty complete precedent on that, and usually a situation like that, it would be considered a private transaction, not that the line was not to serve the public, which is what you need to find in order to be a public utility, is that your facilities are for public use. So if all you're doing is serving next door an affiliate or a landlord tenant kind of thing or some other business relationship, there's precedent that says that would not be for public use, so they would not be a public utility. So I don't think that's really the issue either. I think what the issue is one other thing, you don't have to be hooked up to your local utility. So if you're in C&P's territory and you have a generator adjacent to you, you could take your power from that generator and not be hooked up to the utility. But that's problematic for most because then you're relying on just that generator. If that generator goes out, you don't have any power. So it would be more common to also be connected to the T&D system, the CMP system. And that's, I think, where the issue arises that people have some may have some concern or confusion about. Because if you're hooked up to the CMP system, even if you're taking most of your power from outside the system, you're still hooked up to the system, and the utility has to be ready to serve any time that power goes out. So they have to have the infrastructure there, almost as if you were taking power from them all the time. So, and this is the issue in the rate design cases, if you have two customers of the same size and one is taking only stand-up, but backup power or standby power because it has either a generator next door or a generator, its own generation, versus someone who doesn't, but the cost to CMP to serve both because they have to have the meters and the lines and the transformers are pretty much the same. One uses a lot of electricity from the grid, one uses very little. The costs are about the same, so the issue is how do you design the rates that would be fair to the, not only fair to the customer who needs a standby power, but all the other customers, because as you all know, these costs don't go away. So if you say the standby customer doesn't have to pay its full share of the cost of the infrastructure needed to serve them, then other customers are going to pay that. But there is a host of issues around rate stability and fairness and certainty and that sort of thing that we're dealing with in the rate design case, because cost is not the only criteria that we use to decide what sort of backup rate customers. I mean, what CMP really wants is to charge not based on what you use, but based on what you can potentially use. And, you know, some customers, if that's exactly how it's done, might see a large rate impact. But that is basically the issue, the standby rate issue, and it's been an issue for a long time. It's a controversial issue, and it's, like I said, it's one of the many rate design issues we're looking at in the rate design case.
Any questions, Representative Russell?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is somewhat tangentially related, but are we building, I don't remember with the MPRP, for example, I remember when I testified on that issue, I was saying that make sure that we're incorporating the efficiency that's being utilized. But if we are having a trend where folks, and we're encouraging by policy folks to start generating their own electricity at home through either solar power, wind, or what have you, are we going to be incorporating that analysis and that trend into future transmission cases?
Well, as far as I think the answer is yes. The answer is surely when you look at a transmission need, what the commission always does is looks at the need analysis, and the need analysis would involve a projection of how much conservation there's likely to be or how much on-site generation there's likely to be, because that's going to determine whether they, so if you assume a lot of it, then you need less transmission. If you assume less of it, you need more transmission. And that's one of the big issues in these cases. And in the current rate design case, CMP is looking to, for a residential customer that has a rooftop solar, to be charged, you know, a higher flat charge for the backup, for the reasons I was just discussing, and that's obviously a big issue in the case, and a lot of parties oppose that.
Other questions? And I've seen there's been more than once that this kind of concept has come forward. The intent is, I think, well directed in the sense of, is a local generator, how can we help reduce energy costs or encourage economic growth by using that energy? The difficulty becomes is that most folks are going to need to be hooked up to your local T&D company, which then brings up the standby rates issue.
Yes. It's one of those issues where traditional rate making, which focuses on underlying costs and charging customers costs, may have some conflict with state policies. So that's again part of what the commission is looking at. So for example, having a standby rate for residential customers who have put rooftop solar and installed that on in reliance of the current net energy billing rules. And if certain rate designs are adopted, that their economic benefit goes away. So that's certainly an issue that the commission does look at. It's not just technical, but is the rate design consistent with state policies?
If a residential customer or a business customer is not connected to the local electric utility company, then that's not an issue. They're relying on whatever source they're using for their electric power.
Yeah, that's correct. There was a debate years ago of whether there should be exit fees, you might remember, which would say if you left the system altogether, you had to pay an exit fee because they built the infrastructure to serve you. And that was quite controversial. The commission never approved such a thing, and I think eventually I believe it's in statute that it's not allowed. So if you leave the system totally, you don't pay the utility anything. But like you said, Senator, it's not common. Most people need to remain hooked up at least.
Are there other questions for Mr. Tannenbaum? It's a question, this was a concept draft. And the good sponsor had a lot of confidence that we would look at the bill carefully, which we've done, and see if we could find some means of accommodate this concept. But I think we've laid out here where the obstacle is for this approach. And I'm going to confess that I don't know how you get around that issue. Representative Rikerson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems like the effect of this bill would be to set up economic incentive zones around electrical generation. But is that really where we want it, or would we want to look at the planning in a more comprehensive way? So I would think that that it's not an intentional planning bill, as most planning is meant to be. In other words, incenting areas.
Yeah, that's true. I think unless we figure out a way to deal with the obstacles that are legitimately before us, but I am open to other suggestions. Representative Gideon?
I move out, not to pass.
Okay. Any further discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor? Okay.
If we could get...
Oh, is he out there? I know he had a meeting, so he may be coming back.
Here they are.
Yeah.
It's all accounts.
This is on LD 796, which is a concept regarding economic development. And we just heard from the staff of Public Utilities that if they hook up to a local electric company, the current requirement is that there's a standby charge for for that, and very difficult to get around that requirement in a fair and equitable way. So why don't we take the vote again? All those in favor of the ought not to vote, ought not to pass? Okay, appears to be unanimous. It's a preferred method, I think.
30 seconds.
Yes.
I recall that the committee sent a letter to the PUC this.
The current requirement is that there's a standby charge for that, and very difficult to get around that requirement. Yeah, in a fair and equitable way. So why don't we take the vote again? All those in favor of the ought not to vote, ought not to pass. Okay, appears to be.
I recall that the committee sent a letter to the PUC this summer in support of the Aqua Venture proposal. Have we sent one to the DOE as well in support of their grant?
No, we hadn't. We have not done that. We wanted to, of course, make sure that we had
to get the term sheet.
So yeah.
That was our next.
I figured. I was just going to suggest that not today, in the next week or two, that we formally talk about putting a letter together in support of their proposal. And obviously, they've just got their term sheet, so the next step is that. But I think we should have that conversation.
If I may, we would like to talk about as a committee a strategy to support,
right,
which would include our bipartisan leadership of the Democrats and Republicans, the presiding officers, and everyone. I think that would be a way to do it. And so we're hoping that will take place.
And I think in part of that may well is to engage our our congressional delegation as well.
Yes.
So we'll come back with a plan, as they say, a plan. So I think with that concludes all of our work session. We have a busy day tomorrow. Get plenty of rest. Eat well. I'm well energized. With that, I adjourn the work session for today.